in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of 2 Samuel. So get close to your radio now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Finish, bring it forth then. Do not err.
Look at what that says. Do you see the three steps? Do you see the three downward steps? Lust, sin, death. Lust, sin, death. Lust, sin, then the consequences. Do you see? Death. Lust, sin, and ain't finished that sin. See, once that process, it's a process. It's a person just don't leave church. A person just don't leave ministry. A person just don't fall in the ministry just like that. It's a process. It's a lust. It's a sin. Then it's a death. It's a process. It's a process. And we're going to see this process in David's life. So turn back over here to David. Amen. That was David and Bathsheba. Now, let's everybody dust your hands off. Dust your hands off. All right. So David done went and had a good time with Bathsheba. But 9 months later, something done started. Hey, what did James say? You lust, it conceives, didn't it? See, when you lust, you plant a seed. You finna have a baby. You finna have a baby. You finna have a baby. When you get into lust, you finna have a baby. Now, I don't know what kind of baby you finna have, but you finna have a baby. Yeah. And sometimes our babies are monsters. It's finna get out of hand. We finna have a Frankenstein in our life. Watch this now. David said, wait a minute. Let me tighten up my belt. No problem. I know y'all thinking this the problem, but I didn't get to be a king for nothing. Cool. Chill out. I can fix this. Plan A. Go get Uriah. That's what he did. He went and got Uriah. Verse 8, and David said to Uriah, go down to thy house, wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat for the king from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and went not to his house. David sent Uriah home, gave him a leave of absence from the army. When a man come home from the army, what he going to do? What is that married man going to do? Oh, he going to go straight to the house. Unless you're an honorable man like Uriah. David sent some meat and everything. Sent the stuff for the party. You just have a good time, you and your wife. Did y'all see that? He sent the meat. He sent the food and everything. But the man slept at the door. Didn't even go home that night. They told David, look at the story. And when they told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, verse 10, David said, Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why did thou not go down unto thine house? And David is concerned. I'm concerned about you, Uriah. And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife as thy liveth and thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing. No, my captain of the army, they out there in open fields. Some of the others out there in tents. I can't go and stay in a house. That wouldn't be right. Boy, this is a good soldier here. When you want to have this soldier? This is a good soldier here. That's all right. David says plan B. When plan A don't work, what do? Use plan B. So David said, verse number 12, David said to Uriah, tarry here today also and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. And David had called him. He did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. David got him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. Wait a minute, he don't get it. He got him drunk. Had some T.J. Swan there. Some Ripper. I don't know what they had, but David probably had some of that good stuff. What the king drank. Something that can get him drunk just like that. But he still didn't go home. Well, when plan A don't work, plan B don't work, plan C. Look at plan C. And it came to pass in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. What's in the letter? Let's find out what's in this letter. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Ain't that something? David, set that man up. The man took his own death sentence. Ain't that something? David gave him the letter, didn't he? Ain't that something? Y'all better be careful taking folks' letters. Particularly when folks don't like you. Hello, somebody. But look how honorable this man was. He didn't even peek in the letter. He didn't even hold it up against the sun or anything. Isn't that something? Man was set up, was killed. Well, plan A didn't work, plan B didn't work, plan C worked, but when you got a plan C, you got to have a plan D. Now that Uriah is dead, verse 26 and 27. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she moaned for her husband. She didn't cry too long. Verse 27. And when the moaning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. See, she didn't cry too long. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Plan A didn't work. Plan B didn't work. Plan C worked. Plan D worked. But God says it didn't work in my eyesight. Ain't that something? Oh, my goodness. It looked like David done got away, so let's dust off our hands. Come on, y'all. Let's dust off our hands. Come on. Amen. All right. All right, so we done looked at David and Bathsheba. We looked at David and Uriah. David and Uriah, that's number two. But let's go on to number three, David and the Lord. David and the Lord. Amen. Now between chapter 11 and chapter 12, almost a whole year done went by. As a matter of fact, 9 months just about done went by. This baby, because the baby was born in chapter 12. So it took 9 months. But notice here, the Bible says that God sent the preacher. Whenever the preacher started coming over at your house and you didn't call him, look at the text. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. You know, God always got somebody that can speak to you. He got somebody that can talk to your heart. He got somebody that can get through to you. He know exactly. As a matter of fact, all of us got a Nathan in our life. There's somebody that can get through to you. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there are two men in one city, one rich, one other poor. The rich man had an exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, one little female lamb, which he had brought and nourished up and grew it up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Look at this. This poor man got one little pet lamb. This is a pet, ain't it? A little lamb that was raised with his children. This was like Mary had a little lamb right here. Notice verse 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his flock and of his herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come to him. But he took of the poor man lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. In other words, he went over there and killed the poor man lamb. Went and killed his pet, even though he had all of these other lambs. Notice, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. He's going to have to give four lambs for that one lamb. Because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. David is really fussing, but this done ticked David off. But notice verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You're the man. He says, thus said the Lord, God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wife, into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee unto such and such a thing. Whatever you wanted, I would have gave it to you, David. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in the sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Look at that. That man done put a curse on his life. And because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah. Wait a minute, then David married this woman? But God says that's still. There are some divorces that God don't even recognize. There are some marriages that God don't recognize. God is still saying, you took this man's wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Now, it's one thing when somebody else is your enemy. It's another thing when God has become your enemy. And this is what God said. God said, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine house. I will take thy wife, thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor. Wait a minute. You just took one wife. He just took Uriah's wife. But God said, I'm going to take your wives. with an S on it. Before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. He gonna do it in broad open daylight while the sun is up, for everybody can see it. Somebody ought to say, ouch! Woo. For thou did it in secret, but I will do this thing before all of Israel, before the sun, in the daytime. Broad daylight. You done it in secret. I'm going to do it openly. And David said to Nathan, uh-oh, I have sinned against the Lord.
Wait a minute.
What's going on there? Why somebody got to tell you that you done sinned? Huh? He didn't know he had sinned before then. Huh? Now he getting all godly now. I done sinned before the Lord. I done messed up. See, he tried to hide his sin for almost a whole year. Look over here in chapter 32 of Psalms. Not chapter 32, Psalms 32. Hold your place there now, because we're coming back. Psalm 32 is a psalm that David wrote right after this. David says in verse number, because the thing about David for over a whole year, for 9 months, this woman was pregnant, while his wife, he wasn't feeling good. He wasn't feeling good in it. That's the thing about a Christian. That's how you know you're a Christian. When you sin, even though you may cover it up beautifully, when nobody else out there know about it, when you go home at night, it's hard to sleep with yourself. That's what Psalm 32 is about. David says, blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord input not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, look what David said. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old, though my ruin all the day long. David says, when I didn't go on and confess my sin, he said, man, I started having physical problems. My bones started hurting. I started feeling like I was an old man. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. Remember, he didn't want to go and fight the battles, did he? But he had strength. But now, he just felt too tired. I believe David was depressed. David, you don't want to go out now. Depressed. Weak. My bones hurt. Back hurt. I can't hardly move. Yeah. Look, David, he was trying to. The thing about sin, when you try to bottle up your sin, you're hurting yourself on the inside. And that's what David was doing. He was hurting himself on the inside. But then David says, I acknowledge my sin. Let me, verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turning to the drought of the summer. My mouth just seemed to be drying up. Everything just seemed to be dry. He done got in some sin. When you start going down physically, a lot of time, physical ailment is a result of sin. Hello, somebody. Let's move on. We're getting too convicting there. Let's turn back on over. David, we're looking at David and the Lord. See, David been having fun with Bathsheba, done went and killed Uriah, but now God said, let me step in. Cut this foolishness out. Now David says, I done sinned against the Lord. Well, you knew that 9 months earlier, David. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great accusation to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. What did James say about sin? What's the process? What's the three-step process? Lust, sin, and death. See, when there's a lust, you finna have a baby, then there's going to be a death. Somebody's going to die. Something is going to be put to death in your life. And sometimes it's that very thing that you love. And in David's case, it was the very thing that he loved, his little boy there. And the Bible says, and Nathan departed into the house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And when you read the rest of the story, you'll read in just a couple of days later that the child died. So the consequences of sin always leads to death. There's going to be a separation, a cutting off. There's going to be some consequences to sin. So we see that there was David and Bathsheba, there was David and Uriah, and there was David and the Lord. What can we learn from this lesson? First thing, be sure your sin will find you out. That's the first thing that we learn. I don't care how you done covered up. I don't care about how well plan A worked, or plan B, or plan C. You may have to go to plan Z before you found one that worked. But rest assured, be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Number two, the most dangerous place is a place of comfort. The most dangerous place in the Christian life is the place of comfort. Once you done got comfortable, can I show you that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Are you with me, Bible way? We almost done. Verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Soon as you think you got it together, I can make it from here. Say, I don't need the Lord now. I can make it from here. Boom. Take heed lest you fall. Soon as you think, we got it now. We got it. How many of you know, a lot of times, it's when you done got to that place where you think.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.